This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
How you doing?
I'm good. Busy, man. God,
man, did you have an army here on Thursday or what? How many people came in the house?
Thursday. How about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
But how many people were here Thursday?
Like a lot.
35. Look at the number of humanity and dogs everywhere.
Yeah, when they had the hounds, there's
Billy, Barb.
Yeah, Billy, Barb, Brant, Aaron, Hayden was here. You got Jack in the back left corner, John and my sister Liz, and then Mrs. P and the girls, Gigi and Emmy. Piper girl's looking good. The typical golden retriever for any photo op looks awesome.
Look
Piper
at the fabulous Packer women there to the far right.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. P.
Oh, yeah.
Gigi, Emmy.
Billy and Barb up front.
Billy and Barb up front.
Barb's got the Fuller. And of course, Chester said, hey, you want a picture? Yeah, here's my good side.
Yeah. All right. Best golfer in the photo is Aaron.
Aaron.
By a long shot.
Right now, the woman on the far left could take anybody's money.
Yep, including Drew Brooks.
To her left.
Yep.
She can play.
She can play. That's right.
But you know what? She
Billy looks good.
Yeah, everybody was good.
Fired up about something?
Of course, we got into great conversations as we normally do in the Packer Thanksgiving gathering. But it was fun. It was a blast. I mean, football, family, food. I mean, you can't beat that. It's all good.
Little calmer in Northwest Georgia, boys and girls. Not going to lie to you. Didn't have quite the array. That's it, back right there. Back
Isn't that
deck.
Beautiful?
Man, there
nice.
It is.
That's life right there.
Sun setting.
Living in large.
Out over there near the Etowah River. Well, there we go. That's all you need.
Take your wedge out there, work on your short game, couldn't you?
Could. Kind of let the wedge in the back. Tell you what, I was going to play Saturday morning. Or Friday morning, rather. It was scheduled to play Friday morning, 8:35.
What happened?
It was 31 degrees.
Oh, come on, man.
No chance.
That's where you bring the sweet spot out.
Shh.
You don't hit any on the toe. You got to really concentrate what you're doing when it's 31.
Really? From somebody that hadn't taken a swing in 23 years?
24. Not
24,
hit a bad shot
no
in 24
chance.
Years.
Well, I'm not playing in that kind of weather, Coach.
Oh, come on.
It's not happening.
You're getting soft. Soft.
All right.
What a weekend, though. And sports-wise?
Holy smokes.
Oh, my goodness.
Where do we start? Where do we start this? I mean, now, big picture, ACC, obviously the world we operate in for these 3 hours, okay? But we could just take college football and
– college basketball.
College basketball.
Football, coaching carousel.
Coaching carousel. Business of sport. Where do you want to kind of – where do you want to dive first here? For those of you cashing your Wake Pitt tickets this morning, not football tickets, those preseason tickets.
Let me just go. I'm going to go big picture. We'll go macro to micro.
Okay. All right. Let's do that.
The first thing I want to say is this. There were some that complained before the football season that the college football season was a disaster. The college football and the college sports.
I remember that.
Yeah. There was one in particular that kept beating the drum with a hot take how bad college football. We were in a state of disaster, I think was the term he used. I think it's the best college football season I've ever seen. Seriously. This college football season, number one, it always flies by. That's always a given.
Absolutely.
Number two, it has been the most entertaining college football season that I, as an adult, can remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's had everything, right?
I agree.
And for the quote-unquote blue bloods, Clemson, Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, who you just kind of assume, put it in ink, man. They're going to the college football playoff. For what we do for a living here on this network, it's great to always have somebody in the college football playoff. And really, it's been Clemson's world, right?
That's right.
So from that perspective, it was disappointing because the Tigers, much less the ACC, are not going to be in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
However, for the health of the sport, in terms of more people with their hand in the cookie jar, thinking there's an interest, I've never seen a season more interesting than this one.
Right.
I mean, hey, look at us. We got Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, both ranked in the top 20, both teams scoring over 40 a game. Is it the traditional Clemson versus, hey, who wants to get killed from the Coastal showing up this weekend? No, it's not.
I mean, and the fact that that became a tradition, probably great for Clemson, obviously, but was it great for the ACC as a whole? What do you think?
No, because you want to be in the college football playoff.
That's it.
Right? That's again, I'm speaking macro here. I'm not speaking and throwing the dart at the bullseye.
Right.
So the fact that the ACC is not in the college football playoff, That stinks.
Yeah, it does.
Well, we haven't experienced that before. Mm-hmm. Well, we are for the first time this year. But as far as the sport is concerned, that's what I'm saying, macro, I have never seen a year like this. I mean, mm-hmm. everything that we thought was right has been kind of a fake left go right this year. It really has. I mean, just look at the conference championship games this week. Michigan, Iowa, Big Ten. Michigan's never been. They're knocking on the door to college football playoff for the very first time. Finally beat Ohio State. Look at the Big 12. Hey, Oklahoma owns it just like Clemson owns the ACC. Well, guess what? They're on the couch this weekend with a remote in their hand. In fact, they're not only going to be on the couch, they're going to be making phone calls for a coach, right? It has been the craziest, most unpredictable, even though we still got some quote-unquote blue bloods in the hunt, big picture. Mm-hmm. As far as the conference races, more teams that seemingly at 5-7, 6-6, 7-5, where that balance just kind of went like yep. this. Mm-hmm. It has been a fabulous year of college football. As entertaining as I can ever remember.
I agree.
Big picture.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been incredibly interesting to see the momentum shifts in games, the plays in games, but at the same time, too, the variance of experience. 18-year-old freshmen, 24-year-old seniors, you know, that type deal. And Saturday, well, actually, when you go back to it, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday were real capsules of how, you know, how good a year it's been. Just pick a game, right? I mean, you saw tremendous performances, careers being scripted at the end in ways you might hope. And at the same time, we still had surprises. Every week we had surprises.
I mean, pick a league. That's my point more than anything else. I mean, and this weekend was a perfect deal. I mean, mm-hmm. goodness gracious, if you were not entertained by what North Carolina and NC State did Friday night, I cannot help you.
Right.
If you are not entertained watching Ohio State and Michigan play in the snow, I can't help you. If you are not entertained with how Auburn had Alabama on the ropes of kicking them to the curb for the college football playoff and couldn't close the Iron Bowl, I can't help you. If you did not like watching Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in Bedlam Saturday night,
that was good.
I can't help you. I mean, that sport, Saturday, Friday, you pick it. The Egg Bowl Thursday, I mean, pick a game. Yeah. Almost every league's got them every single Saturday that you just go, my goodness, this sport is awesome. Yeah. And I say it all the time, man. And anytime I hear people on the radio go, man, it's going kind of a boring week of games this week, I laugh and just go, you know what's going to happen? We'll get back here on a Monday and you're going to go, wow, who would have ever thought the three or four storylines that emerged from college football? It never disappoints. I mean, never right. disappoints. And I thought this holiday weekend was just spectacular. I thought the games were just amazing.
Yeah.
And even when we thought we had something figured out, wrong answer, right? And that's just the way you like it, yeah. I think, as a fan. Never know.
And you know what? Friday night in Raleigh was crazy.
That was bonkers.
That was crazy. Saturday, the rivalries at the end of the year that we've become accustomed to, it was good to have them back. They didn't go the way we wanted the ACC teams to go for the most part. Sans the Tigers on Saturday night pitching the shutout in Columbia. But we got to see some – I mean, the script got written for Kenny Pickett. The script got written for Dave Clawson and Wake Forest.
Devin Leary, record-breaking Friday night.
Devin Leary.
We go through the whole list.
Yeah, here. I mean, we're going to do the deal. But the sport itself has been really, really good. And then let me add this. Friday night after State Carolina – we may have seen one of the five best college basketball games we're going to see all year.
It was great.
And Gonzaga was as good a basketball game as we may see all year.
That felt like late March is what that felt like. And they were both really good. Both.
There was about a 14-minute span in that game where both were just kicking it.
Yeah. Your turn, cool. Oh. Now it's my turn. Bam. I mean, they were back and forth. I really hope we get to see them again, those two. I mean, it was that good a game. And the weekend was spectacular.
It was.
Family, food, football, sports.
There you go.
Leftovers, puppies, hounds. We had everything. It was great. Really great.
By the way, we are looking at the potential to show you just how competitive a college football season it's been. We are looking at the potential of no Clemson, no Alabama, no Ohio State, no Oklahoma in the college football playoff.
Well, you're not going to get Ohio State, you're not going to get Clemson, and you're not going to get Oklahoma. And Bama, keep saying that. I mean, there are some people, believe it or not, at the worldwide leader, believe they lose two, they're still in. May, think whatever you want. I think if they lose, they're out. That's what I think.
I agree with that.
So I mentioned that 5 minutes ago, but that's what we got.
Yeah. And we have Pitt and Wake Saturday night in Uptown
Charlotte. And there's some that believe, the game's going to be a dud. I heard it 3 weeks ago. If that's what it is, what a dud.
Yeah.
I could not disagree more. I think the game's going to be wide open. It's going to be fun. You have two great quarterbacks, two great offenses.
Mm-hmm. Two really good coaches.
Tremendous coaches.
Yep.
Wake's an amazing story this year. Mm-hmm. Pat Narduzzi's done a brilliant job. Both of them with double-digit wins, 10-2 apiece.
Yeah.
Pitt for the first time since 1981. Wake Forest, of course, did it in 06 when they won the ACC championship last time that they did it. Only other time they were in this game. So, I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I think both fan bases will be fired up.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so used to Clemson, again, kind of like the old Roman days, man. Bring them in. Let's eat them up. Beat them by 40. Catch you later. Gone. But it's a whole new year this year in ACC football for sure.
Anything you want to apologize for before we start?
I need to apologize for something. I need to apologize for something.
We're offering apologies.
Because
look at us at 7-12.
Well, here's why. You know, I have ripped FPI.
No.
To no shreds.
No.
I mean, just, I don't.
No, I really?
Yeah, I haven't been kind to FPI. So today, this morning, this morning, I'd like to apologize to FPI. I know I've been rough on you. I know I've mocked you every single week for 13 consecutive weeks. I know we'll probably even give you FPI numbers regarding Wake Forest and Pitt and the ACC Championship, and I'll sit here and laugh at you and mock you. But I want to apologize to you because I have found another mistress. And the mistress is the net.
Oh, no.
I have found something more pathetic than you, FPI. And I'm embarrassed to say that I can't keep my eyes off of it. It's that bad. It normally has been FPI, but today I'm here to tell you that the net is the worst thing I've ever seen.
The net, of course, is the NCAA's basketball evaluation tool.
Right. Now, I was combing the internet, and I went to CBS.com.
Oh, no.
And saw net, and I clicked it.
Cheated on your employer, too.
I don't. It's like I said, I'm here to apologize. And so I went to CBS.com, and because I haven't paid attention to the net at all until this weekend. And I clicked it, and I saw it. And I saw the ranking on net. And FPI, I am truly sorry. On the net ranking in the ACC.
Oh, no.
Today, this second, Virginia is 20. Florida State is 21.
Yeah.
This is hard. Syracuse is 37.
Okay.
North Carolina is 39.
Okay.
Georgia Tech is 41.
Uh-huh.
Clemson is 45. And Duke, you know who you are. You're 49th.
Stop it!
Duke is 49th in the net.
Stop it.
You heard me. FPI, I am truly sorry. I thought you had taken me to places where I'd never been before.
Just stop.
So FPI, I am truly sorry. The net is the mistress.
Give me a break.
Duke is behind Clemson, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Syracuse, Florida State, and Virginia. Today, that's updated this morning, 49th.
All right. With that,
I feel better already.
Here's the outline of the day. By the way, guess what else we start today, kids? That's right. It's awards time. And we, of course, have been trusted again. Jacob's Blocking Trophy, the Jim Tatum Award, and the Brian Piccolo Award, all announced today at 9 a.m. part of ACC Football Awards Week.
I like that Piccolo Award. That's a preference there.
Yeah, I understand.
Family.
ACC Football Awards all week right here on Packer and Durham. It is a busy, busy Monday. We're back in the basement. Delighted to be with you. When we come back, punch the ticket for the Subway ACC Championship game. Kenny Pickett will be here, and so will Sam Hartman. Panthers and Deacons are on tap Saturday night in Uptown Charlotte at BOA. We're back with more Packer and Durham on a Monday right after this on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham is presented by the Eat Fresh Refresh at Subway. And in part by Dish. Tuned in to you.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
ACC Championship Saturday starts with the huddle from Uptown Charlotte at 6 o'clock. You'll get everything you need. Then the ball game on ESPN, on ABC, I should say, at 8 o'clock. Mark Jones, Robert Griffin III, Quinn Kesnick have the call on ABC. And then as soon as the game is over, you're right back to ACC Network with full postgame coverage. From Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, it's the Subway ACC Championship game right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Packer and Durham's Monday is presented by Subway. We welcome you back. Me and Mr. Ratings over here.
No. Me and the net.
You and the net. It's going to be a love affair all winter long. Yeah, I cannot wait.
Setting the stage for the net rankings.
That's it.
When they become official.
All right. Speaking of our friends at FPI.
I love them.
Wake Forest had a 0.9% chance to win the division before the season. Pitt had a 7.1% chance to win the Coastal. The teams combined to have less than a 1% chance to win the conference. Pitt was 0.7. Wake was 0.2. And look who's in Charlotte Saturday night, Mr. Parker.
So I think this has been the most interesting college football season I can remember. There has been nothing that gave you any heads up other than Dave Clawson's interview on this show before the season started. And he even told us, hey, it's got a chance to be something magical due to six-year seniors, the super seniors, the transfer portal, older teams, a lot of guys coming back with experience. And we saw it not only in this league, but we've seen it all over the country. And I think it's been great for this sport as far as change. I mean, you know, teams are still really, really good.
Right.
I mean, we just mentioned about the fact that you got to have a college football playoff with no Oklahoma. They're still a really good club. No Clemson. They're 9-3. No Ohio State. They're 10-2. I mean, those are still really good teams, but we're so used to seeing the same old playing for a national championship this particular year. Not going to be the case.
No, and Wake Forest deserves a lot of credit because the Deacons took care of business Saturday afternoon. High noon start in Chestnut Hill, and right from the jump, Dave Clawson's team looked locked in and ready to go. They weren't going to let the finality of it and the high stakes get in their way. A.T. Perry, a big touchdown. See another catch and run here, and Wake Forest ran off from Boston College, to be quite frank, Pack. 41-10, first 10-win season since 06, as you said earlier, and fourth consecutive road win at Boston College.
Here's what impressed me the most about Wake, and prepare yourself. It wasn't the offense. We're so used to Wake Forest, say, on your mark, get set, go. They're going to score, you know, 35 or more on everybody. You know, defensively, after getting absolutely just bashed at Clemson, that was what I was concerned about in that game. Is BC going to be able to line up and just go, hey, Clemson ran it down their throat. We can do this. I mean, Garwo is going to go over 1,000 this year. Let's just pound Wake Forest, and they don't like it. Guess what? The Deacs did. 9 first downs. That's all they gave up.
Yeah.
182 total yards. That's all they gave up. BC was 1 of 10 on third down conversions. Wake Forest got off the field defensively. So was it the off for me? It wasn't the offense that was like, wow, here come the Deacs again. We're kind of used to seeing them do that. What was so impressive about Wake was they got it done on the defensive end. And our conversations last week, Wes, was Wake Forest mature enough? I thought they would. I thought they'd be able to put Clemson in the rearview mirror and say, hey, let's go. We're one. We still got the same deal. We win this week, we're in. We don't care what NC State does, what Clemson does. Oh, it's all irrelevant. We take care of us. And I thought the maturity of that football team was never more on display than was Saturday. But they got it done on the defensive side. And I think if you're a Wake fan this morning, not only are you giddy about being the Atlantic champ, Wes, but I think you also now go into this Pittsburgh game by going, hey, guess what? Maybe our defense can at least hold off Kenny Pickett and company for a while.
Right.
Just give me a couple stops and we'll let our offense take care of business. I think if you're a Wake fan, that gives you a reason of, hey, you know what? We might be okay Saturday against Pitt.
Yeah, but you're still going to have to ride the offense.
No doubt. That's your bread and butter.
Right.
And both teams, let's be honest, offensively, we got an ACC championship game for the first time ever with two teams averaging over 40 points a game. It has a chance to have fireworks all over. So the question to me this week, which we'll get into deeper, is which defensive unit is more capable of just giving me a couple stops?
Right.
Because both teams are going to score.
Yeah.
They're going to score. But Wake defensively on Saturday against BC was excellent. They did a tremendous job.
Sam Hartman becomes the ninth player in ACC history to throw for at least 34 touchdowns in a season. The list includes Deshaun Watson twice, Taj Boyd twice, Jameis Winston 13, Sam Howell 19, Trevor Lawrence 19, Phillip Rivers 03, Kenny Pickett and Devin Leary this year. How about that? Three quarterbacks this year threw for at least 34 touchdowns.
What have we talked about all summer? We've been wrong about a lot of stuff.
We haven't been wrong about quarterbacks.
We were not wrong about quarterbacks. Nope. This league has the best collection of quarterbacks in the country. It's not even close.
All right. The news of the day, though, actually was before the game. It kind of broke Friday night, Saturday morning-ish. And that is Dave Clawson agreed to a contract extension with John Curry, Dr. Susan Wente, the president at Wake Forest, a long-term contract extension. Clawson's name was being rumored for jobs, potential candidate at other places. And good for Dave Clawson and good for Wake Forest. This is as good a fit as you're going to see in the landscape of college football. Right guy, right fit, right program, right patience. All the things for sustainability, these two have worked together to get done. Now they've got facilities, and congratulations to both the institution and to Coach Clawson.
I don't care if we're talking about college coaches, insurance salesmen, radio TV host, you like to see good things happen to good people. Well, that's what this falls
right
under. Dave Clawson, number one, is a tremendous football coach. He's a great dude. He's done an awesome job in Winston-Salem, and that is a win-win for both Dave and for the school and really for the league, for that matter.
Yeah. I think we've got some of Coach Clawson here. I know we've got some cuts that we want to but Dave Clawson, after the game, talking about the extension and the timing. Now, also, listen to the answer here about the timeline about the extension.
I mean, I planned on being here, Josh. I was offered an extension during the bye week, and I just didn't want any distractions. You know, I wanted to focus on the season, and then to me, the distractions of all the rumors of me going different places to me outweighed the distraction of announcing the extension. And so I just, you know, there were so many things out there, and I'm never going to comment on other jobs. You know, there was no need to. And so I wanted our players to know for a critical game that, you know, that I wasn't going to go anywhere else, that I was going to be at Wake Forest. And, you know, people were using it against us in recruiting. And we just end that narrative and focus on winning the ACC.
All right. Real quick follow-up here before we get to the break. 6 weeks ago was their bye week. A little better than 6 weeks ago was their bye week. John Curry, tremendous work there. Dr. Wente, again, the president, who's, what, about a year old, a little less than a year, is the president at Wake Forest. Getting all the things lined up. That's the way you go about securing your services of a coach without letting it become the court of public opinion. And yeah, there were jobs, one particular in the ACC where Dave Clawson's name was already starting to surface. But here again, 6 weeks prior to PAC, they had started the work to get this done.
If you have a person that's doing a great job for you, you reward him or her.
That's it.
I don't care if you're running a football program or you fill in the blank with your profession. That is called smart business.
Yep.
Again, it's a win for Wake. It's a win for Dave Clawson. It's a win for the ACC, period.
We will get to their opponent on Saturday night when we come back, along with the hard part of Saturday when Packer and Durham presented by Subway on a Monday continues. Oh, boy. We had some interesting twists in the rivalry games. Oh, my goodness, Cocky. That was the highlight of the night for Cocky.
And then some things never change.
And then some things, yeah, well, we'll get to all that and more. Packer and Durham presented by Subway. And the Panthers are coming in from the Coastal next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham presented by the good folks at Subway.
Somebody want to let Chester know it's Monday and we're working?
No, big man, he's got a heating pad, and he loves it, man. He gets on that sucker, he is gone.
We all should be having a heating pad.
I wish I had one. I could go for one right now. He is out.
Look at that. Now, wait a second. Last week it was a blanket.
Yeah.
And now it's become a heating pad. Is the thing plugged in?
No, it's plugged in. Believe me.
So he's sleeping on the heating pad?
Yeah. It's on really low.
What in the world are you doing?
He's got the terrible haircut, and he's shivering like crazy. He's just cold. So we warm up the pot, man. Give him a little heating pad.
13 going on 14, you can get what you want, right?
Well, he runs the show. So there it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
he wasn't much for that team photo.
You saw him last week. He was shivering all the time.
But he wasn't much for that team photo, I noticed, either.
Well, you gave him the best shot. He said, hey, you want a picture? Here's my best side.
Take a look at this.
Yeah, you're staring at the golden retriever anyhow. Yeah. Well, you don't even know I'm standing there.
That's exactly right.
So Piper. He's doing well.
Piper? When we left you, by the way, last Wednesday, we were having...
Yeah, for folks didn't watch the last dog
festival
of the show,
here at the end of the show.
Yeah, I mean, we let Piper run loose here in the 90 basement.
90-pound Piper, 60-pound Fuller, and the Wonder Dog.
The
here.
King.
King. How was the rest of the weekend?
It rocked, man. I'm telling you, it was busy around
here.
You had
people, just dogs just flying everywhere.
We had food, we had dogs, we had people. It was
girls were here. You had no vote in the house.
Boyfriends, girls. We had it was rocking, man.
Here we go.
All right. Trying to get some work done. Just trying to get some work done.
I've got to read. I've got numbers. I have a show to do. Wait, no,
shows.
I don't. All right,
to do.
Pittsburgh is going to be in Charlotte on Saturday night, and the Panthers, to their credit, remember we kind of speculated a little bit last week. Pittsburgh's there. How they handle this? You said they'll keep focus. Oh, let Syracuse score first, then keep focus. They did. It almost was like when Syracuse scored first, Pitt went lockdown, and that's what happened. Panthers, impressive. 31-14, the final at the Dome. Orange, sidebar, missed the bowl opportunity. They finish 5-7 on the year.
I'm going to give you the same thing about Pitt as I did about Wake. You got two teams that you know have great offenses. But what I took from the weekend was Wake Forest defense won the game against BC, and look what Pitt did to Sean Tucker.
Right.
Now, 34 for Syracuse has been running up and down everybody's spine all season long. You know what he did against Pitt? 29 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, much like I just told you about Wake Forest fans this week, hey, if I'd be excited because, number one, you got a great offense,
right,
but your defense came to play when it mattered, same thing holds true with Pitt. Hey, you got Kenny Pickett. You got, Addison, who went nuts. Been fantastic. They can score like nobody's business. But Pitt's defense, when it's good, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you hold Tucker to 20-some-odd yards, 29 yards, you're getting the job done. So I think it's going to be a tremendous ACC championship game, one that nobody expected, whether it be us, FPI, or anybody else. Didn't hear anybody buzzing about Wake Pitt before the season started. But that's what we got. And weather's supposed to be okay Saturday night. Let it rip. Somebody can be the new champ. First time in a long time.
Well, meteorology on a Monday.
Yeah, well, I got to give it to you. You know, I'm sitting there still worried about the updated net rankings from last year.
All right. Here we go. So Pitt's in, Wake's in. That's the championship game. Those were the two big conference guns to be staged over the weekend. Now we get to the rivalry games that we missed a year ago. In particular, this SEC-ACC situation. Let's start with the good news. Saturday night, Clemson went to Columbia and pitched a shutout on the bowl-eligible Gamecocks. Seventh straight win, six of the seven by 18 or more. Man, oh man, Will Shipley, 19 for 128 and a score. Kobe Pace had a touchdown, rocked the baby. The freshman from Weddington, by the way, looked good. Looked real good for Dabo.
Some things never change. Seven straight, right? Mm-hmm. The new joke going around now is, did you get your seven up and your zero bar this weekend? Seven in a row for the Tigers over the Gamecocks. First
that's
shutouts.
Not funny.
What do you mean it's not funny? It is funny. If you're a South Carolina fan, right? No?
Seven up and a zero bar.
I'm sorry, we can get a six pack of seven up, put it up here. Seven straight. That hasn't happened since 1934 to 1940 that Clemson's won seven straight.
Back in the day, wasn't it? That might have been for Coach Howard.
Well, I'll just say this.
By the way, two picks for a wide receiver U candidate nominee, Andrew Booth. That one in particular.
Shane Beamer's done a nice job to get South Carolina Bowl eligible, but yes. I'm going to tell you, watching that game Saturday night,
right?
The only thing I could think of is how bad is Auburn and how bad is Florida? Seriously, how bad are those teams?
I'm not disagreeing.
I mean, South Carolina, I mean, they got obliterated in that game.
Yes.
I mean, that wasn't even competitive. That was men against boys.
Right.
And I got some South Carolina buddies. They always get on me, Pack, you know, Clemson, I'm playing that ACC schedule. Can I just say one thing about all that?
Yeah.
When you're getting your rear end handed to you year in and year out, the best thing to do is just shh, get better.
Right.
That's the first thing. And the other thing is this, South Carolina fans, you've now lost six straight games to ACC teams. You've now lost eight of your last nine to the ACC.
Shh. Not just Clemson.
No.
Yeah.
Shh. Yeah. Good. I think Shane's done a nice job. I do. It's amazing. No, it's amazing that that team is going to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
But they are.
No.
That's what it is.
All right. Off to the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
What was that Saturday night?
I don't know.
That was not good. I'm going to call it like I see it. That was an egg.
I was watching the game and going,
who are those guys?
What? Excuse me? I don't know how you felt. I didn't get it. Did you? This was the opposite end of everything I expected.
No, I got it. You know why? They're the team of mystery. Been telling you that for 4 months, and never has that been more evident than Saturday night. Because that one, I'm going to be honest with you, that was a terrible effort by Louisville. They were terrible. And I'm being kind. And they come in, you come in when you're all red and all that great stuff, and rah-rah, pom-poms. You just get smoked. It's 45-7. See you later. Three straight by three or more.
Yeah.
Not good.
I mean, I was stunned.
Team of mystery, Wes. They're hard to figure.
Yeah, Harry Douglas, who played at Louisville, he does some stuff over with the Game Day folks, the Countdown to Game Day show and things like that. We were together yesterday on radio in Atlanta for the Falcons game. And I said, Harry, I was shocked. Just shocked. Saturday night. I thought that was going to be like that. I thought it was going to be close all night.
It was.
Until it went in the air.
7-7, right?
Man.
That was a terrible effort. I'm all sorry. Right. When you get homed, like when you get your arch rival comes to your house.
Yeah.
And you're feeling good about life.
Yeah.
And that happens. There's no positive spin about that at all.
All right. Sorry. Let's go to Steve Spurrier Field at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville. Everybody wants to talk about the onside kick. Scramble that. I get it. Misfire by Parker Grothaus at the end of the game. The story of this game, in some ways, is the up and down nature of it, really both ways. I thought there were plays on both sides. But at the end, Florida State couldn't close the deal here. And Pack, they got a 2-score margin and could never capitalize after that.
This was the one that surprised me the most. Of the four ACC-SEC games,
right.
This one surprised me the most. Because I, in my opinion, heading into it, I thought Florida State was playing with all the momentum.
Absolutely.
Florida's lost their coach. They looked lifeless. I mean, South Carolina beat them by 30, whatever that score was. I mean, Florida had been walking dead here for about a month.
Right.
And I just didn't think, you know, Dan Mullen gone. Okay, yeah, whatever. I think Florida was looking just to get it over with. And they really controlled the game. That's what surprised me the most. Right. Of these four games, Clemson beating South Carolina is like putting socks on your every day. Man, right. Come on. That happens all the time. Louisville's a team of mystery. So, well, they won by 30, lost by 30. Whatever. That's Louisville. But this is the one I thought Florida State was going to beat Florida. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I know the final score is 24-21. But if you watch the game, it didn't feel like a 3-point game.
No, it felt like two possessions.
It did. And it was.
And Jordan Travis got banged up. That took Florida State out of any kind of rhythm they had going. We had Mackenzie Milton for a series. We had Tate Rodemaker come in the game. I mean, that was a great catch by Ontario Wilson at the end. But Travis got banged up. He deserves a ton of credit, by the way, for coming back in the game and trying to make plays. But that's a great catch.
Yeah, you'll see that one later in wide receiver U. That one right there. But for Florida State West, 5-7. And it's kind of like the good news, bad news, right, for Florida State. You start off 0-4. You look like you're going nowhere fast. Again, I can't give Florida State enough credit for the way they got it back on the road and heading down. That's why I really thought that, man, they would work so hard to get to 5-6. And you're taking on your arch rival. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where they play that game. It can be in the backyard. They're going to go play.
Right.
I just thought they'd get it to the finish line and get to 6-6 and get to a bowl game. But I still like what Mike Norvell's doing.
Yeah.
They're recruiting well. They're heading in the right direction. But I just thought they'd get it past the finish line on Saturday, but they were not able to do that.
All right. Let's get to the last one here before we get to the break. Number one, Georgia went to Atlanta. They beat Georgia Tech 45-0. We said in June that the Jackets had the hardest schedule in the ACC, and at the end, they had no punch, really, on both sides. They surrendered 110 points in a row to close the season. They gave up the last 10 against Boston College in Atlanta, 55 at Notre Dame, and 45 on Saturday in Athens. Jordan Yates started the ball game. Jeff Sims did not play the last 2.5 games of the year. Stetson Bennett threw for 255 and 4. Georgia Tech, 2-11 all time against AP number ones. Largest shutout loss all time against Georgia.
Not surprised.
No.
I mean, anybody surprised by that score?
No.
Not me. I think the good news for Georgia Tech is, you got to get back to work ASAP. Now, you made some changes yesterday on their staff.
They did.
Which, you know, quite frankly, when you're winning 3 games a year, status quo is not going to be good enough.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame, Georgia, they're in another class. And so that game, that score didn't affect me at all. I mean, that was like kind of what I expected.
Georgia Tech Athletics Director Todd Stansberry, late last week after we wrapped our show on Wednesday on Jeff Collins' radio show, said, "I have my man between the offense and defense and special teams. We've got to shrink the differential. If we can do that by 10 points, you're looking at a totally different season. We're coaches dialing in on what we do. We need to do that to close that differential. It's my job as athletic director to give him and our players the resources that need to be successful to do that." To Mark's point, yesterday afternoon, Collins announced 3 coaches had been let go. Dave Patino, the offensive coordinator, former Georgia Tech player, and safeties coach Nathan Burton, and Jeff Popovich, the cornerbacks coach on the defensive side. Collins is a defensive-minded coach, does have a defensive coordinator in Andrew Thacker, but we'll see what other changes may be in the offing, if you will, in Midtown Atlanta. But 3 straight 3-win seasons for Jeff Collins in his first 3 years.
22 will be an important year for Jeff Collins and the folks in Atlanta. You know, this is now all your guys. You open up with Clemson in
right.
the Mercedes Benz Dome, whatever you guys are calling it down
there. Mercedes Benz Stadium. But
whatever.
You're there.
Whatever.
By the way, it's not only Clemson on Labor Day night at Mercedes Benz, it's also UCF on the road, and Ole Miss in Atlanta in the first four.
Yeah, well, guess what? You know, you signed up to play big boy football in Atlanta, and that's what you're going to have to do. Yep. And if you don't, you go 3-9.
Yep.
So that's how it works.
A couple of other notes to come in this opening hour of Packer and Durham on a Monday. Don't forget, we got awards in the 9 o'clock hour. But when we come back, we've got some notes on coaching changes at Duke, and we will take you to Charlottesville, where our man J.C. Bryce was smoking cigars after the Hokies win over the Cavaliers. All that and more next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Crazy, crazy holiday week. I'm telling you what. Games, coaches,
right.
Hoops, football. Man.
Busy week ahead, too.
Oh. It's
got a lot of entertaining to do in Charlotte this weekend.
It's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a wonderful nuts, too.
Yeah. We got best kind. It's awards week on Packer and Durham. We'll start at 9 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that. Probably news yesterday from Durham that we thought we might get, and yet at the same time, kind of hard to take. Duke and football coach David Cutcliffe agreed to part ways after 14 seasons. Duke finished 3-9, lost 8 straight to finish the year. But it's really not about that. It is, but it isn't. It's been a tough couple years for Duke. We've documented the Blue Devil struggles. We've talked about the Blue Devil struggles. But when something like yesterday happens, it recalls the job that David Cutcliffe did. Because, Mark, when he took the Duke job, it was the worst FBS job in the country.
I said to you last week that it almost pained me to watch the Louisville game.
Right.
Because there were just no answers.
Mm-hmm.
There were no answers. And David Cutcliffe is, number one, an incredible football coach. Number two, he's an even better person.
Mm-hmm.
He's been great, not good, great for Duke. What he inherited was a mess, as you pointed out, and has been pointed out multiple times on this show. When you go back and look at the numbers, what he took over, mm-hmm. you're like, why would anyone want that job?
Right.
Seriously, why would you want that job? And just look at these numbers, what he did and what he inherited. He didn't jump, this wasn't a, hey, I'm Bob Stoops, I'm handing over the keys to Lincoln Riley. No,
right.
This was... you're in the bottom of the trash can. Now go make something out of this. And he did. And you know what Duke did too? They supported him.
Yep.
Look at the facility upgrades. Mm-hmm. The support from the administration. Duke had a chance to sample success. Bowl games. A bowl win, which was almost unheard of since the early 60s. An ACC championship game appearance in 2013. God did a phenomenal job. And that's why I said last week on the show, it was kind of discouraging to watch Duke coming down the stretch because defensively, they just can't tackle anybody. They just don't stop anybody. And I didn't want to see David Cutcliffe kind of get it back to, hey, this is kind of what I inherited. I didn't want to see that happen.
Right.
And so when this news broke yesterday, in some respects, you hate to see anybody lose a job. And I don't think this is a matter of losing a job. This was just a timing issue that, hey, for the benefit of, I think, David Cutcliffe and for Duke, this was the right thing to do. Now, I don't know what David Cutcliffe's going to do. He may go fishing and chill out with the grandkids, or he may say, guess what? I still got some tread on the tire. I can be a consultant, an assistant. I don't know. Maybe get to the television. I think he'd be great no matter what he decides mm-hmm. to do.
I agree.
But in some respects, I found it really difficult to watch Duke down the stretch because it just looked like they were completely, totally being manhandled by everybody they played. And defensively, when you're giving up over 50 a game down the stretch, well, you can't win. You can't be competitive.
When you take over a program in 2008 that in its previous 13 years had won 15% of their games, 15%, and you get it to nearly 50, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, especially at an academic institution where you're not going to cut corners, where it's like, hey, here are the rules.
Oh, my God.
Now, let's go compete. You know, that's what you're selling. The guy is a fabulous football coach.
And a man of character, great family man,
yeah.
Cares about people. On a personal note, I'll say this. He is as good a person as I've ever been around in this business. And the number one thing for him is not always winning the game. The number one thing for him is the quality of people that leave his program. And he's got gobs and gobs of outstanding young men that have played football for him. And we wish him the very best. I kind of hope if he's not going to coach or if he's not going to go be somebody's QB guru, which he'd be very, very highly qualified to do.
Be fantastic.
I kind of hope he ends up in media because I think it's a fresh voice that can talk about the game and the way the game is played these days. But all that aside, what we do wish for Coach Cut is happiness and our best wishes. And thank you for stopping by and passing our way, as they
say. I'm sure that was hard. I mean, when you are a football coach or a coach in general and you've shaped so many young lives in your career, last thing you want to do is say, I'm done doing it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's part of the DNA. I've worked with enough former coaches that, man, it's like a drug.
It is.
I mean, you just don't want to give that up. So I know that was difficult, but I do think at the end of the day, it's probably the best thing for David Cutcliffe, and it's probably the best thing for Duke. They kind of need a new, fresh approach, and that's not an easy gig, and we'll see what direction they go in this coaching carousel. But for David Cutcliffe, if he never coaches again, it's been an honor and a joy to watch him work.
No doubt about it. I'll also offer this, too. It's not just the wins and losses at Duke that he made a better place. Here's what else, and Mark mentioned this a moment ago. Duke's facilities, they are now in the game. Now, are they in the top 5% of all college football? No, but they're only 5% of that. I mean, Duke is in the game. They've got an indoor. They've got support. They've got resources. They've got things. The Wallace Wade Stadium, everybody talks about crowd, lack thereof, that type thing. Here's the deal. That facility now on par with other facilities of type. People get to the games. You get people to the games, you win, you do things like that. That's part of the equation that comes with, you know, being successful.
Well, I also, and this might not be fair, but I'm going to go there anyhow. When you look at schools like Duke and Vanderbilt and Stanford and Northwestern, et cetera,
right?
I'd throw Wake Forest in there. When you're talking about really great academic institutions that do not have enrollments of 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people, and you say, hey, you got to go compete against the Clemsons, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, you know, the USCs of the world, that is hard to do. That is really hard to do. But when you see and walk around that Duke campus and you think of Cameron Indoor Stadium because Duke basketball is king, you get over there to that part of the world, that part of campus, and you walk around Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, as I call it, you go, wow, this place is nice. It's gorgeous.
Yep.
And they've done a brilliant job because, let me tell you, 20 years ago, when you walked that same path on that campus, you'd go, God, what a dump. I mean, it really was. I mean, not only were they terrible, but their facilities were awful. And now you walk around there, you go, boy, who would not be impressed with this joint?
That's exactly right.
But David Cutcliffe is a wonderful person and wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely right. All right. Also, look forward to seeing Nina King, less than 6 months on the job, who her new football leadership will be. We go to the 8 o'clock hour on a Monday, and you know what that means. Pack has put lists together. Best and worst of the weekend. Oh, Mark Williams, get off the rim. We're going to get best of the weekend tackled when we come back. Hour 2, Monday's Packer and Durham, presented to you by Subway.
Packer and Durham.